Today, we are closing out our year of talking about, can we talk to God? And actually, the topic that was assigned for this week, finding a sense of home and belonging, was, in fact, not a chapter in that book. It was a talk that we gave the very first year, 20 years ago, when we started Sterling Study Group. We talked about finding a sense of home and belonging. And when Judy created our schedule for this year, she didn't have enough subjects for the chapters, so she added this one on at the end. And I was thrilled to sign up for it because it seemed like the perfect topic for the end of the year. And so I started out looking for Ernest Holmes and what he had to say about home. And he said, "I feel at home in the universe in which I live. I feel secure in the divine presence that is around me. I have complete faith in myself, complete confidence in my future, because I know that underneath are the sustaining arms of the infinite." That's a beautiful thought from a mystical genius who felt that connection so powerfully that he could say, "I feel at home in the universe in which I live." I can't say I'm always there. I'm there a lot of the time. But sometimes I still get knocked off and I'm looking for what's home and where I belong. So I've had a really interesting time the last month or so as I've been thinking about this topic about home and belonging and how to get to what Ernest says more often, to feel completely at home in the universe. And one of the things that tends to knock us off is the transition of people that we love. And several of you talked about having had that experience and having it affect you right now. And you know that when I'm giving a talk, I'm always looking at my own books to see what Beloved said about the subject. And the very first thing that came to me was when Beloved talked about coming home and what that means. And I said, "Life shifts so quickly sometimes, Beloved. My friend Vitai came home to you for good yesterday at 1 p.m. I found out last night." And Beloved interrupted me and said, "You came home to us by choice at 6:21 a.m. today." I sat down to write with the Beloved, and they were calling that coming home. I had been talking about my friend passing away as coming home, and they immediately said to me, "And you came home to us at 6:21 a.m. by choice." I said, "It doesn't really seem like the same thing to me at all, Beloved." And they said, "We agree there's a difference in degree, but it's all for good." They said, "Your friend is now totally aware of the fullness of his being. You are as yet partially aware that you are part of the we that we are. You are both eternally at home with us. You are still also identifying your physical body as yourself. He is no longer seeing his body as a locus of identity. You are both still at home with us." So what does that mean? It's a powerful statement to me of the oneness of all of life. We are always at home in God. I have often used this symbol of holding my hand cupped in front of my heart and saying, I feel like a baby bird cupped in the heart of God, resting in the heart of God. What does it feel like to rest in the heart of God? For me, it feels like homecoming. When I can get to that space of knowing, as Ernest said, I know that underneath are the sustaining arms of the infinite. In every moment, we are loved, supported, and supplied by Spirit. We are always loved. There is never a moment, never a breath we take, never a beat of our heart when we are not loved and attended to. But we don't know it a goodly part of the time. Why not? Because the presence of God is constant, but our awareness of the presence of God is totally changeable. It depends on where we focus our attention. Are we focusing our attention on the peace and the love and the grace? Or are we focusing our attention on fears or worries or resentments or angers or displeasure about something? If we're focused on the love, we are resonant with that infinite love that is the truth of who we are. And Reverend Hillary posted a really cool quote this week from John O'Donohue from the book Anam Cara. And it's a really interesting quote. It's very deep, so I'm going to share it with you. Solitude is one of the most precious things in the human spirit. It is different from loneliness. When you are lonely, you become acutely conscious of your own separation. Solitude can become a homecoming to your own deepest belonging. One of the lovely things about us as individuals is the incommensurable in us. I had to look up that word. It means unmeasurable. In each person, there is an absolute non-connection with everything and everyone else. This is fascinating and frightening. It means that we cannot continue to seek outside of yourselves for things we need from within. The blessings for which we hunger are not to be found in other places or people. These gifts can only be given to you by yourself. They are at home in the hearth of your soul. That's a really deep, powerful quote. And as the week went on, I discovered that I disagree some with him. I am very clear in my life that we set things up to be either or. And he is making this an either or. Either you find the homecoming in your deep belonging, you have to find it because it's not out there. And what I came to this week as I looked at my own personal experience, I went to the park the other day and I saw a golden-crowned kinglet. And I was taking pictures of this teeny tiny little bird. It is less than 4 inches tall, and it weighs less than half of a chickadee. Do you know how big a chickadee is? It's like one fifth of an ounce. That anything can live and move and be hyperactive at one fifth of an ounce is incredible. And I was experiencing this bird. And I got the pictures home and I looked at them And I have this adorable picture. I should have brought it out so I could show it to you. But I saw that picture and I felt such incredible love. And I realized that I felt homecoming with the Golden Crown Kinglet. Now, I feel homecoming with the Beloved and my prayer work and my meditation, but I also feel homecoming with the Bluebirds and my friends and family members and things that I experience. I feel homecoming with music and opportunities, that doors that open, and seeing the beauty of life. That feels like homecoming to me, as well as that inner solitude homecoming. It's not mutually exclusive. It's both and. The love is both places. It's not one or the other. We don't have to choose to focus in this way and not look for it. We can look for it everywhere because it is everywhere. And Beloved went on to say on another day, when you had dinner with your friends last night and were making eye contact with her, you were experiencing us. We are there as the sunlight glinting on the cap of your beautiful pink pen in this moment. Whatever is there with you in any moment, we are there in it as it. We are all of it. We are all that is. As you relax and live loved, knowing you belong here, feeling confident and free, you encounter us everywhere you go. That's the oneness. That's the beauty. That's the power. That's the love. And as we talk about our loved ones who have made their transition, the same thing is true. And several times this week, it happens when I'm giving a talk, something comes to me, and then it comes to me again, and then it comes to me again, and I finally say, duh, it's supposed to be in the talk. And I'm having the incredible privilege of going to visit Ed Serma's partner, Marita, who's in hospice and who is nearing the closing of this chapter of her eternal life. And I sent this poem that came to me that my mother had sent to me a few months before she made her transition. And as I was looking at it, I was realizing that what this poem says is what Beloved said in the quote that I just read to you. The poem goes, "Do not stand at my grave and weep. I am not there. I do not sleep. I am a thousand winds that blow. I am the diamond glints on snow. I am the sunlight on ripened grain. I am the gentle autumn rain. When you awaken in the morning hush, in the swift uplifting rush of birds in circled flight, I am the soft stars that shine at night. Do not stand at my grave and cry. I am not there. I did not die." And I found that comforting from my mother, and invite you to mute if you can right now, so that our Zoom call stays as quiet as possible. Thank you, and welcome, Elizabeth. What I realized just this morning, that poem that describes what life is like after transition, Do not stand at my grave and cry. I am not there. I did not die. My mother told me that. And unlike others in the family, I don't go back and visit her grave because I visit with her in my heart all the time. And the comparison between what Beloved told me about what they are, they were the eye contact with my friend. They were the sunlight glinting. Whatever is there with you in any moment, we are there in it as it. Spirit is there in it as it. Our beloveds who've made their transition are here in everything because they are now as part of the infinite and eternal nature of who they are. They are no longer identifying. What did they say about my friend who made his transition? They said he is no longer seeing his body as a locus of identity. I'm still identifying my physical body as myself. But Beloved said, you are still both at home with us. So we have the opportunity to be at home with spirit in our physical body, just as we will come home to that infinite nature when we make our transition. It's always, always available to us. There is never a moment when we are separate from spirit. There is never a moment when we are separate from those that we love. If we can open our hearts to be unconditionally loving enough to allow ourselves to transcend the requirement for physical life and recognize that they no longer need the locus of identity of a physical body, but they are still here present with us. And I talk to my friend Kate all the time. I talk to my mom. I talk to my husband that made his transition. And I feel the love. I feel that sense of them within me. And I know they are here. And I talked to the Beloved about what it takes to invite that sense of homecoming with spirit within us. And I said, a friend asked what it takes to invite you in, Beloved. Is there a special way people can take to do that? B said, a special way? You make it sound like you want us to outline a path for people to take. It's much simpler than that. Willingness is an invitation. You were in a process of ever deepening connection with us for 20 years. Does that seem true to you? I said, yes. I knew you were there, and sometimes I felt you so clearly and deeply, but it didn't feel like a personal relationship until I read about the potential for a fully realized relationship in the book, The Shack, and suddenly wanted a relationship like that for myself. I never imagined moment-to-moment familiar intimacy with the divine before I read that book. As my friend Kathy said, she wanted to know what Mac's relationship with God became after the book ended. She wanted the story to continue for him. I just realized that part of the brilliance of that book is that it doesn't answer the question. I was inspired to ask, I wonder what a relationship like that would be like for me. And then I wandered over here to see. That's the invitation, B. I wonder is the invitation. B said, I wonder expresses a soft willingness to explore.
Ooh, like that.
Mm-hmm. Soft willingness. What a sweet phrase. I love the feel of it. Just a gentle opening to possibility. B said, we can do so much more for you if you approach life with a soft willingness. So I have a lot more that we don't have time for. It's about finding what works for you as a sense of home and belonging. What makes you feel like you belong? Some of you talked about being here, and there's something about being here at Sterling Study Group that makes you feel like you belong. I have a sense of belonging here. And part of it's that I've been here and felt loved and supported for 20 years. But I walked into my first Science of Mind Center in Denver, and day one, I felt a sense of home and belonging there. I walked into the study group that I went to before that center, Cherry Creek Center, and I felt a sense of home and belonging at that study group the first time I went there. That sense of home and belonging may come from a philosophy like Science of Mind, or it may come from a connection with a person that you love who loves you, that you feel loved by. It may come from your sense of family, your family of origin. It may come from relationships you've developed over time, family of choice. It may come from a building. I've lived in this house for 30 years, and I feel a deep sense of home and belonging in this house. But it may come in a place you walk into for the first time. If you are in that space of solitude that John O'Donohue talked about, that homecoming goes with you everywhere you go. It isn't a place or people outside yourself. It can be that inner knowing that is so extraordinary. It can come from your meditation and prayer practice. It can come from your interests and hobbies that follow through your life that make you feel connected. I've watched Judy Oliver knit for so many decades now and feel that sense of, I'm putting words in Judy's mouth, but it feels like a sense of a homecoming when she expresses her art in that way. I feel that in so many of my friends who are musicians, when they play their songs, they are feeling that sense of homecoming and belonging. I feel it at the folk club I've gone to for 20 years, where I love the people and I feel the love from them. There is so many ways. There are so many ways we can feel the love. We can feel the belonging. And I want our discussion in the second half to be about where we find the home and belonging. And I want to amplify those feelings that identify and amplify those feelings. I saw something from Abraham recently that said, if something good happens, if something good happens and 99 bad things happen, talk about the one good thing 1,000 times and don't talk about the bad thing at all. Amplify the good. Find people who will hear your stories of love and connection, who will listen to your songs of joy and celebration, and who will listen to you in those moments when you need someone to just share love with you, when you don't feel connected. There are so many ways we can reconnect and amplify that connection through the holiday season, through the year, every day. The love is here for us, And if we can begin to deeply believe and understand that the love is right here and the connection is here, it's my awareness of the connection that changes. And set the intention to become more aware, whether it's the connection and the eye contact of the person you love sitting across from you, or it's the glint of the stars in the sky, or the beauty of the tiny bird on the branch. It's all love. It's all one. And it's so much to ask that we begin to see beyond the physical into that which is infinite and eternal. But it is possible, and it is worth everything. It's the most important thing we can do. I love you all, and that's what I came to say today.